This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We open it up on the penultimate day of November 2023. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson live, downtown Las Vegas. Bar Canada, the D. We'll get to the boys in just a second. Mike Palm's going to stop by. Drew Butler, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper as well. What's on tap today? We were just discussing right before the show started some Aaron Rodgers news as he catapults himself to the front page again. It's kind of a story, but kind of not. We'll get to that. College football playoff rankings. We're going to start there. We're going to have a lot of fun with championship week to get the show going here. Of course, Friday night, right next to the boys. I don't know how Amal and Dustin aren't going to Allegiant Stadium, because this rematch, Oregon-Washington, which is where the boys sit at Circa, it's 10. DraftKings, which is our partner, is sitting 9.5, so you know how to bet, right? Of course, if you want the 10, take it. Washington, you can find it. If you want to lay it, lay the 9.5. There's a distinction there with those two numbers. The winner, of course, Oregon-Washington, the rematch is going to the college football playoff, which we'll get to. 7 in the NBA. The Pistons look to make franchise history with their 15th straight loss today. The Lakers and LeBron in town. Actually, if you don't love the NBA, but you're starting to get into it as we get closer to Christmas and the holidays, the Rockets, Nuggets, and Clippers, Kings late night tonight. Two pretty good matchups. 3 games in the NHL, which is a reminder not to invite Corey Perry to the parent-teacher conferences this year. We mentioned the college football playoffs, so we should start there, boys, as the rankings dropped yesterday. I got a laugh from them all. Dustin sits stone-faced.
No,
because
my mic was off.
He sits there and just bites his tongue as I open the show, because he thinks to himself, I should be doing that. His voice shouldn't be heard right now. It should be me. So while I got a great chuckle from Amal Shaw, the guy that resents me, the big guy, didn't laugh at all. And it's not a terrible joke. It's not a great joke with PTA, but go ahead and defend yourself.
I was busy looking up ticket prices for Friday's Pac-12 championship here in Vegas, and I realized I don't know why I'm doing it. I can't go. I already have a date planned with a jungle animal that tastes like spearmint.
Okay, you're going to make the audience unpack that? Amal, would you like to help us here? Because that is a mind twister. He is so narcissistic, he believes that everybody's going to get his inside shtick. That is him. What a start.
We got a lot to unpack here. First, let's start with Dustin's little conundrum he put everybody in there. I'm assuming you mean Spearmint Rhino on Friday night?
Yes, got it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to the strip club.
Listen, I don't want to take all the credit. My advanced training was done at Quantico.
Also, what do you think the cheapest ticket in the house is?
It doesn't matter. You don't look right now until Friday at 4 o'clock.
Oh, because they get desperate.
Of course.
Secondary market.
Secondary market Friday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
By the way, they can't even use the tickets in their fireplaces anymore, right? Because it's all online.
Okay, big guy, you should buy 2 tickets. If you were a good producer, you'd take them all with you to the game. So is that your plan?
Do you want to go with me after my date?
I can't go, but I appreciate it. Oh. Thank you.
Okay.
By the way, it's the last Pac-12 game here.
It is.
It will be. It will be the last Pac-12 game at Allegiant Stadium. I actually went to the Pac-12. No. I went to the Pac-12 championship game a few years ago. No, it was a bowl game. You know who it was? It was Jaden Daniels, Arizona State against Wisconsin. I sat there and I was like, Jaden Daniels stinks. His teammates hated him. He was awful in the game. I am the biggest idiot. I'm a donk.
No.
He's now a Heisman winner.
Listen.
Like, he went from a guy that was clueless at Arizona State. You know this, Amal. He looked like he didn't know which way was up.
He was terrible. We can put that on Dustin's favorite coach, Herm Edwards, potentially there. Don't forget, Antonio Pierce was on that staff as well. But there's a video, if you can find it on social media, of his former teammates at Arizona State when he said he was transferring, like throwing all his stuff in a garbage can. They're like, he's trash.
They did? I had no clue. I'm telling you is, in person, I could tell the team hated him.
No, you nailed it. By the way, he may not win the Heisman. I have a 12-1 ticket on him. Amal is a Bo Nix ticket. I did hedge a little bit on my Bo Nix. Bo Nix is now the favorite at -175.
I don't understand how things changed from last Sunday to this week. What happened? Was there a game played this week that we missed?
I saw somebody on ESPN today. They released their
positions, their power rankings for positions, every position in college football. He had Caleb Williams 1. He had Drake May 2. Do you guys know who he had 3?
I hope it's not Jaden Daniels.
Ollie Gordon?
It's not Jaden Daniels.
Talking about quarterbacks or just all positions?
Quarterbacks.
Oh, just quarterbacks? Penix?
No. He had Shedeur Sanders 3. Which, respectfully, hell no.
Why, well, let me ask you a question. Why respectfully? That's just absurd.
Like, respectfully, that's not true? That won't happen? Or am I crazy? Sometimes I get a little confused. He had, and we were arguing about J.J. McCarthy yesterday. He had, I believe he went then Jaden Daniels 4 and then J.J. McCarthy 5. So he had Bo Nix and Penix beyond that 5, which Penix, I understand, he's my age. But Bo Nix beyond Shedeur Sanders and
This must be pro prospects. That's all must
be. Yeah, for draft, right? This must be for draft.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Heisman. This is projecting
to the
NFL.
Based on the season this year,
Bad setup by me. But I still don't necessarily love wouldn't be my list. I just was a little surprised to see it in that order. I don't know if that surprises you too.
I mean, I know like the translation doesn't always just automatically happen, but it feels like Bo Nix and Penix are going to be pros, and one of them is going to end up being a starter somewhere.
I'm not a big Penix guy. I think Bo Nix is going to be solid. Here's my issue with Jaden Daniels. We thought Bryce Young was small last year. Dude, Jaden Daniels looks like he weighs about as much as a paperclip.
You know what blew me away? I looked up his height. I thought he was going to be coming in at like 6'1".
That's what I thought.
Shocked. He's 6'4".
If he's standing on the L.A. County phone book. Come on.
Jaden Daniels is 6'4"? Is that what you're saying?
According to ESPN.
Yeah, Steve Nash was always listed as 6'3". Steve Nash was 6'3" if he was standing on the highest point in Vancouver.
Okay, let's get to... So, yeah, that surprised me with those quarterback rankings. Anywho, speaking of quarterbacks, we've got a great championship week here. We kick it off on Friday, of course. We just talked about it with the rematch. That number, wild, all the way up to 10 with Washington and Oregon in the rematch. I mean, for good reason. We understand what's transpired over the last month and a half with both Washington and Oregon, so we can have that discussion. But let me just do this before I tell you what the committee did, boys, and we'll stretch out and have some fun with college football here. I just wrote notes down yesterday, and I said we got 8 teams in the mix. You've got 4 that control their fate. Now, we can argue about whether or not they should control their fate. That's not what I'm talking about here. But I've got Michigan, Georgia, Washington, and Florida State absolutely controlling their fate. Again, we'll get into the debate as to whether or not they should. You're going to have potentially a fascinating conversation if all favorites win. Georgia's going to get in. Michigan's going to get in. Oregon and Washington, the winner, will get in. And if Texas wins, will they get in? Now, that brings up the question, if both Alabama and Texas win, you're going to have a one-loss conference champion. Bama, who beats Georgia, who's number 1, yet Texas, who beats a bad Oklahoma State team, who's 18, yet they beat the Bama team that beat Georgia at number 1. What am I trying to tell you? This is the, and again, with no Jordan... Why am I forgetting his Travis Jordan with no Travis Jordan? This is the Jordan Travis. This is the first time the playoff committee in how many years has it been, boys? 8, 9, 10, somewhere
this
in there.
Is the 10th year.
This is the 10th year. This is the first time in 10 years where it's absolutely a disaster. This is it. Because last year it happened perfectly where, remember, Ohio State dropped down to 5, yet Pac-12 was lost by USC, so you can slide Ohio State up. We can give you a million of those examples, Amal. This is the first time where the committee's going to have to say Florida State stinks even if they beat Louisville because they don't have Jordan Travis, right? This is going to be fascinating. If Georgia were to lose, remember, in 21, Georgia was a 6-point favorite to Alabama and got blown out by 20-plus points. So it could happen.
You're absolutely right about it. I think when you look at all these teams at the top right now playing the conference championship games this weekend, they're all fallible. When you look at the scenario, I do tend to include Ohio State. I know you mentioned 8 teams. I think they really need so many things to break their way. But You know, the argument against Florida State in the Jordan Travis situation, I point to, you started back with Ohio State in 2014. They went with a third-string quarterback in Cardale Jones. They went on and won the national championship. So I don't think Florida State, if they beat Louisville on Saturday in Charlotte, should be discounted. You have to give them credit. They went out there in Orlando in the beginning of the year when LSU was healthy, and a quarterback that's going to be one of the two finalists for the Heisman and Jaden Daniels, and waxed that team. They beat them by 21. And if you look at Florida State in the second half of games this year, they've been dominant. They struggled in the first half down in the swamp in a rivalry game. I can tell you right now, having been a former resident of the state of Florida, there have been some great games in that rivalry. And to come back down 12-0 and win that game with a backup quarterback was impressive. They've got an absolute dude in Trey Benson. The receivers on the perimeter with Wilson and Coleman are outstanding.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. But you're saying that Florida State, if they beat Louisville, not only will they get in, but you think they deserve to get in?
100%. Out of 36 teams that have been selected.
But they're definitely not one of the top four teams in the country as currently constituted. You would agree with that?
I would agree with you there, and here's the problem. Because every time when you said the best four teams didn't make it. I know I'm being biased here, but in 2015, Ohio State was as good as anybody in college football. They lost the one game to Michigan State by 3 points. That doesn't mean Michigan State should be in ahead of them if you go based on the fact that who you think the four best teams are. I get it. They beat them on the field. But we all saw Washington beat Oregon and Seattle, and they're a 9.5-point dog here, and not one of us thinks Oregon's going to lose this game on Friday. I think Florida State has to be given credit for their win. 13 undefeated teams out of 36 have made the college football playoff. I don't think they're going to be the first team ever not to get in.
Okay. So Amal says not only are they in, and the assumption is, well, I think they're a 3-point favorite right now, Louisville. They deserve to get in. Of course. Now, Dustin, do you agree not only Florida State wins, they get in, and they deserve it? We can come back and we'll have this. We'll blow this conversation open, but just yes or no here.
No, they don't deserve to be in. I can explain
we'll
why
back
next.
We'll come back and discuss.
Southern Georgia's got an inferiority complex of Tallahassee.
It is going to be fascinating what happens. We'll lay out every scenario, college football playoff rankings, and what happens next. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money and Big Guy, I'm going to need your assistance. Computer froze with the read here. Cricket, Samsung, Galaxy A14 5G is free when you switch right now. Give me the deets on how people can switch over to Cricket.
That's the deal. Switch to Cricket today. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. After all, you've been good this year, and they think you really, really deserve it. Smile because you're on Cricket.
All right. Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw there at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, as we welcome you back. So we've got a huge week ahead of us here. And it is a tad depressing, or I guess you would say bittersweet, once we get to this point of the year. But it's a great Friday into Saturday with the championship games in college football. Just set this up really quickly. Oregon, Washington, right now, where you guys are sitting, and it is 10. So Circa showing 10. DraftKings is showing 9, obviously, with Oregon laying it in the rematch. Also on Friday night, New Mexico State and Liberty, AAC, you've got DraftKings showing 10.5 with Liberty. And then just the other numbers, and then we'll get into the conversation. Oklahoma State, Texas. Texas laying a price here, 15. At DraftKings, Circa showing 16, just to give you the delineation. What else do I want to tell you? Boise State, UNLV, what a job there at UNLV. That kid has done 2.5. Odom, SMU, Tulane, very good matchup. The SMU question at quarterback, will he or won't he? Tulane showing 3.5. Georgia, Alabama, this number's short. I'm sorry. And we'll get into the conversation. Georgia, 5.5. That is a respectful number of Nick Saban. My goodness. Louisville, Florida State. Florida State's down to 2.5. I said 3. That number has dropped, and it's blanketed across the board. So everybody is now showing Florida State with the backup quarterback, 2.5. Michigan, Iowa, boys. Michigan laying 22.5. These two teams played 2 years ago in the championship game. Michigan was laying, I believe the number was 12 of them all. And they beat them 42-3, I believe. You guys can fact check me there, but they absolutely steamrolled them. Now, Michigan and Iowa, the total's 34.5, 35. Michigan averages close to 39 points a game, just to give you an idea how booty Iowa is. And I think that's it.
42-3 confirmed.
42-3. Thank you. Just before we get back to the college football playoff rankings and the scenarios for the Final Four, remember, we are expanding to 12 next year. So the conversation is going to be we're not going to have this conversation. Is there anything about those numbers that jump out to the two of you? You can pick anything and run with it. Is there any number that just jumps out and says, wait, hold on now?
In terms of wait and hold on, if you like Louisville, I would just wait to see if it gets back up to 3, simply because the 2.5 doesn't mean that much. And if it's going to come down, it's going to come down to 2. That's not going to hinder you or hurt you that much. So from that standpoint, but the one game, I don't love a ton of games this weekend, but the game that I do like, I like UNLV at home against Boise State. This game is here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. You're going to have two conference championship games played within about 16 hours, right? You've got the Pac-12 title game at noon Pacific time. And then I think not at noon. The Pac-12 is at 5 p.m. And then at noon the next day, you've got the Mountain West Conference Championship game. I think Barry Odom's done a tremendous job. You mentioned it a minute ago, Patrick. What a turnaround. And the unfortunate thing for the Rebels is I think he's going to be gone after this year.
He tells, like, college basketball and college football, the coach is of the highest importance. And you're 100% right. He's going to get another big-time job. But he's done a hell of a job, kind of reinvigorated that program. Arroyo must have been a donk. Because Odom just came in and was like, I'll take your players, I'll go to the portal, and I'll win 11 games. So thanks, Arroyo.
Everything I've heard from people who would know around here is that he was not well-liked. And kind of show you how not well-liked he was back available on the market. And I don't think anyone really hired him this year. I think he's like a quarterback something at like a low-level school. I can't remember where. But like he didn't just jump back and get some big coordinator gig.
I just remember on local television, he was in town for 2 days and he was already slanging like Fords. Like you couldn't wait to get that car deal. It's $500 a month, dude.
Well,
you can afford it.
It's trade. It's trade. It's the free car.
I understand. I know what it is, big guy. Appreciate it. Same question for you. Just anything of the games that I brought up that jump out at you?
Well, you mentioned coaches that may be leaving. I think that number is interesting with Liberty laying 10 and a hook against New Mexico State. Just because I think Jamie Chadwell cannot not look at some bigger opportunities. Feels like a guy who needs to strike while the iron's hot. And I think New Mexico State's a team that I think we all liked betting on when they were playing those Conference USA midweek games. But they're a run-first team. Liberty has been just an absolute wagon. They can put up a ton of points. I think that could be an interesting motivation for Liberty. Like, put it on New Mexico State, end the season on a high note, and Jamie Chadwell ends up with a Power 5 job next year.
Didn't Jamie Chadwell sign a seven-year, $28 million deal, $4 million per? Obviously, he can get more money elsewhere theoretically, but when you go to Liberty, you know what you're kind of getting into. I don't know if he's necessarily looking to jump ship right away. Could be, but you go from Coastal to Liberty, I think you kind of are looking at a bigger picture than football for yourself.
What I'm told, I'll just tell you who told me. Staples said he's waiting out South Carolina.
That'd be a good
fit. The AD likes him. He interviewed already prior to Beamer. They loved him. He was down to the final three. Beamer, year three, regurgitated on himself. They're giving him another year. If not, bring in somebody that knows what he's doing, that doesn't throw the rest of the program and the kids under the bus.
You know, this brings up something interesting that just popped in my head. Shane Beamer, Will Muschamp, let's go Lions, Jim Caldwell, Dan Campbell. Who was before Dan Campbell?
You're phrasing me as a hater.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
No.
I see what you're doing.
No, I'm not phrasing. When's the last time one of your programs or teams hired a manager or coach that you went, yes, I love that?
That's a tremendous question. That is a tremendous question. I will give you guys
Monty Williams.
Answer. I'll give you an answer that you probably – I know you guys will agree with it. But he kind of came with the scarlet letter attached. AJ Hinch is a hell of a manager.
He is good.
That's right.
That's my answer. Now, the team's full of donks, and the gentleman that was running the front office that hired Hinch was a donk, and now he's gone. You don't have to laugh. He is.
No.
Was that Al Avila?
I got to bring this up. There was a report.
Al Avila is the right answer.
Yeah. There was a report making the rounds yesterday. The Tigers are willing to listen for offers on Javier Baez. No kidding.
Across any sport. The worst player, if you watch him day to day, Baez is the most frustrating as a fan player you're ever going to watch in your life.
I would agree with your frustration. I was talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about contracts because baseball offseason's here right now. Worst contract in baseball right now? Chris Bryant has got 5 years left at $130 million with the Rockies.
Yeah, that's
what the hell are you doing with that guy?
Well, once you have a bad back, you will always have a bad
back.
But
you already knew that when you signed
him. I know.
You know, you bringing up Chadwell at Liberty opens up an interesting conversation because Oregon, now they're going to head to the Big Ten. So the assumption is Lanning, happy there, going to be fine. Washington, same situation, but DeBoer and Lanning are going to be offered. I don't know how, if you guys want to throw it in quotations, but you both would agree they're going to get quote unquote bigger offers eventually.
But okay, that's fair. But how many?
I'm not saying that I agree. That, like, Oregon, you could stay there for 20 years and you're going to get Phil Knight money even after he passes. So I like there's no reason to leave.
That's my point, right? Like, to me, I think Oregon's one of the great jobs in college football. You don't have the external pressure that you have at Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, and these other places. Their fan base is not delusional. The rest of the country, you're going to have so much pressure. He's going to make $9, $10, $11 million a year, whatever it is. I mean, the guy's going to be the governor of the state of Oregon if he wants. I'm not looking to leave. You still get those Southern California recruits. If you think about what Chip Kelly and Mike Bellotti did, they built it with kids from California. I'm not looking to leave Oregon. I think it's a great job.
Here's what happens is when you get to a job like Oregon, which is a top 10 program, it either comes down to flat-out money, which is generally never going to be an issue because if you're that great, the organization or the university is just going to re-up you and say blank check. It either comes down, you feel a lack of respect or locale. You just want to live somewhere else. Like, my wife is from here. I always wanted to live here. That's it. Like, because there would be, I agree with you, there would be no reason to leave Oregon. Frankly, there would be no reason, DeBoer, to leave Washington either. It's a spectacular place.
First of all, top five campuses in college football. The support that the Purple gets up in the Pacific Northwest is unbelievable. The other thing, Patrick, you mentioned about maybe their spouse wants to live somewhere. Are there really a lot better places you're going to go from a college standpoint than Seattle? Listen, I know I'm being biased here. You live in SoCal now. Dustin, you've lived there, and I've lived there. I would pick USC or UCLA because I'm in Los Angeles. But I'm telling you right now, and no disrespect, Tuscaloosa, Dustin has a different feeling for it than I do. But I'm not signing up to go to Tuscaloosa. I'm not looking to move to Athens, Georgia.
No. It's called humidity. Gross. If you're old enough to get away from humidity and rich enough, do it. If you can get a house paid for in the Pacific Palisades like Lincoln Riley did, trust me, take it.
First of all, you didn't phrase it right. It's if you live in the beautiful Pacific Palisades.
It's
that should
gorgeous.
Come before it.
What were you going to say, big guy?
Oh, I just think the college football landscape has changed. Like, you can win anywhere with the right resources, and all of these schools have it. Like, I think Dabo's proved it. I think Chip Kelly, when he first got to Oregon, proved it. And I think the aspect used to be life got easier when you got that blue blood job because you had more money, you had more resources. I think your life actually gets harder because it's more political.
That's a great point. I think he's absolutely right. Things have changed.
Okay. Good stuff on the coaches. When we come back, scenario, Texas wins, Bama wins. What happens? We'll find out.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's funny. I'm doing a read here for the Black Friday special, which ends tomorrow. It's only $60. Here's why it's funny. Thomas Gable sent over 8 college basketball plays this morning. I don't know what got into him. He said he loved the board this morning. So remember, TG runs the race and sports book at the Borgata in Atlantic City. He loves college hoops, so he sends me them every morning. I send them over to the big guy. The big guy loads them up to our picks page. Now, why am I telling you that? If you sign up, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get the picks every single day, including Gable's college basketball picks. Here's what I'll do. I've got 8 today. I'll give you 4 right now. But you got to go get the other 4 on the picks page. All right? Maul, Dustin, I'm Patrick. This is Sharp Money. Why don't you guys go ahead and tell me what you think about these? Now, some of them are going to go deep in the pocket, of course. Now, first one, St. Joe's Villanova. This is Gable, college basketball. St. Joe's Villanova over 142, boys. Anything on that one, Maul?
Only concern I have is, it can Nova be consistent offensively? They're always tough defensively, but St. Joe's will not be stopping Villanova offensively that much. Should be a good competitive game because of the rivalry in Philly.
Okay, so St. Joe's Villanova over 142, play number 1. Louisville Bellarmine over 139.5.
It's a good call. Bellarmine wants to get up and down. Louisville, they'll be able to go with them.
Chattanooga, Lipscomb, over 151.5.
That game.
This one actually jumped out to me, and I know nothing about college hoops, only because I bet against Lipscomb like the second game of the season. They had a bunch of transfers, and they shot lights out. I can't remember who they played, but whoever they played was like a veteran. It was Drake. And I thought Drake was going to not blow him out of the gym, and they were winning most of the game. They could shoot. They could score. And on the other side, Chattanooga was a good team in the tournament.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have such insight in this game. I'm going to call the final score, 82-68 Lipscomb.
Now, it already happened?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, it did already happen?
Yeah, this morning, okay. Yeah.
So did it go
tell
over?
Me if this one already happened.
No, this is the only game that's gone.
There's no way San Jose State and Cal Poly's already been played.
No, that was the only game on the board that went early.
Over 128.5. Okay, so I saved 4 plays, but you've got to go sign up now. It's $60. You're going to get these plays every single day because I don't give them out every single day. You get Amal's plays, Dustin's plays, and every host and guest on the channel every single day. So again, St. Joe's Villanova over 142, Bellarmine Louisville over 139.5, San Jose State Cal Poly over 128.5. That's from Thomas Gable.
He's okay. Got some great insight on some of these plays. I mean, if you're not a college basketball bettor who follows some of the smaller leagues closely, pay attention to Thomas.
What's interesting about when he sends me the plays, he sends them at the same time every morning because I know he's a very ritualistic person. So he goes in, he sets his college basketball numbers, he throws them up on the board there in Atlantic City, and then he sends over what the ones that have the big differences as far as his power rankings. So it's pretty easy. So that's where we are right now. Okay, let's get back to the college football playoff. Now, I don't know if anything surprised you boys as far as the committee. So what we do know from the committee, Florida State moved back into the top four. You heard them all, thinks it's totally deserved. They moved up from 5 up to 4. Ohio State dropped. They dropped 4 spots down to 6. And you've got Georgia 1, Michigan moving up to 2 from 3, and Washington sitting 3. So your top 6 right now, Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, Oregon 5, Ohio State 6, I'll give you 8, Texas 7, Alabama 8. What stands out to you two out of the top 8? And we can start getting into some of these scenarios here.
You know, I don't have any issues with anything right now. I think Oregon's worthy of being the best one-loss team in college football. Ohio State's one loss came at Michigan. Texas loses to Oklahoma, and then Bama lost to Texas. So Texas rightfully should be ahead of Alabama. I think everything is well within reason. I think Georgia and Michigan are the top 2 teams. I think Washington should currently be 3rd. Now, this is not who I would have as the top 4 teams myself, but I still think you have to take a look at based on what's happened on the field.
Dustin?
I think that we've reached a point in the season where the way they're laying these teams out is dependent on what happens this week. Like, we're at a point where their numbers don't matter because they're just setting it up so that we can react to it based off of how things play out in the conference championship games. Like, I think we all would say Oregon is the best team we think in the country, but they have one loss, and they can get in with a win this week. That's why they're sitting at 5. If you want to get annoyed about 1 versus 2 at this point, I do think if you're a Michigan person, you expect it to be 1 after beating Ohio State. I totally understand that. But I'd also say it's completely irrelevant.
Are you gonna hit me with the shtick because that you're angry that people are debating it when it's irrelevant? Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying that whatever the rankings are right now, you just feel as though they're irrelevant?
Well, 1 versus 2 doesn't really matter at this point. Like, it's interchangeable, and it doesn't really matter, you know, until we get to the seedings. And, I mean, I guess they're going to stay 2 because when they're in, they're beating Iowa, where Georgia would have beaten Alabama. So I guess, but... We'll see how the rest – we have to know who 3 and 4 are to see what the real advantage
is. Here's my question. Let's say Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Florida State wins, and Oregon wins. Ducks get in over Texas.
Yes.
And then where are they seated? Because what's going to happen is Georgia's going to go to the Superdome down in Louisiana. Michigan's going to go to the Rose Bowl for sure. And part of the reason why Michigan's going to go to the Rose Bowl is they want that Big Ten, Pac-10 matchup. Do you then put Oregon – into the Rose Bowl as the number three seed and let them stay out west, because that way you're going to have a guaranteed sellout between Michigan and Oregon, and then allow Florida State and Georgia to play in Louisiana. From a ticket sales standpoint, it makes the most logical sense. Travel standpoint, outside of Michigan, it makes sense. Listen, Michigan is going to Los Angeles. There's not a chance in hell they're sending the dogs to Los Angeles. Michigan will have 100,000 at the Rose Bowl. Georgia won't bring that many.
So the top four all undefeated. You see it, 12-0. So, again, let's reset. Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Washington wins, and Florida State wins. You believe the committee. Now, do you believe the committee is going to send those final four to the final four? And I've got, again, I've got Texas beating Oklahoma State. I've got Ohio State winning. I've got, or excuse me, Ohio State's not playing anybody. Yeah, no, they're not, because Iowa's playing because of the stupid divisions. In Oregon, I've got Oregon losing, I've got Texas winning, I've got Georgia winning, I've got Michigan winning, Washington and Florida State. Amal, you say, yes, those four are deserved, including Florida State, and do you believe, yes, that's what the committee will do?
Absolutely. I think if nothing changes, I think you're looking at the exact scenario right now. Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State. Michigan, Washington, at the Rose Bowl, and then Georgia, Florida State.
Dustin, same question.
No. I don't think undefeated Florida State automatically gets in. I think there are situations where they could. But I think when you look at the committee and creating this and adding the human element to choosing the playoff teams, their goal is to find the best four teams for the playoff that should be in the national championship conversation. And I think once Jordan Travis went down, Florida State became a different team. And while they may have, quote-unquote, earned it and they can only play who's in front of them, that's not the committee's problem or concern. Their whole thing is look at who would be the best four teams in the country right now. And I think everyone in the world, if you ask them, would say Oregon is better than Florida State, even though Florida State's undefeated and Oregon has one loss. So I don't think
I've got Texas beating Oklahoma State. I've got Washington beating Oregon.
Oh, you have Washington beating Oregon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oregon would have two losses.
I think Texas could get in over Florida State. I don't think undefeated Florida State's
alive. That's the question. Can I just say that I agree with both of you? And here's what I'll say. It stinks. It really does. But if Florida State's in the Final Four, are you kidding? Like, the committee opens it to the human element and nuance with the way that they put this together. It's not fair to Florida State. I'll give you an example. You know Jeff Lebby, who just signed the contract with Mississippi State? Did you guys see the details of his contract?
Did not.
Did you... I'll just give you one ancillary income. If he beats Mississippi in the Egg Bowl, Jeff Lebby immediately gets $1.5 million. That's just complete, like, legitimately just a he gets for winning the Egg Bowl. Forget a car dealership. Forget base pay. Forget he gets $1.5 million for the 4 year each year. So he can make, I think he's got a four-year deal. He can make, you guys are better at math, he can make $6 million if he were to beat Lane four straight years. It's about money.
Yes.
I don't disagree with you.
Your point about the committee and the human element, like, this is why we ditched the computers and the BCS, for humans to make this decision, because the BCS would go, Florida State's undefeated, they're in.
To Patrick's point about the money, if you look at the top eight teams, which one will you guys pick out of the top eight is the worst fan base to travel out of these eight teams?
Worst to travel.
To me, it's an easy one. Worst to travel. It's going to be Florida State.
I was going to say Florida State. And then I would say Washington.
Washington will show up. Oregon will show up.
Oh, now, you're probably not wrong. Now, let me ask you both a question. We all think, regardless, even if they get beat by 150 points, Georgia's probably a top four team in the country.
Oh, yes.
Here's my question. Georgia loses by 6 to Alabama. Are they in the Final Four? We'll come back and discuss.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings, bet $5, get $150 instantly in bonus bets for new customers when you use the promo code SHARP. Again, $5 gets you $150 in bonus bets instantly, promo code SHARP. No sweat, same game parlay every day for everybody. Over at DraftKings, the crown is yours. We're back, Sharp Money. It is official. I'll just say this. Sean Lewis has been named. He was the offensive coordinator that was demoted by Dion. Remember, he was the Kent State head coach, brought into Colorado to run the offense, and he just got the San Diego State head job. We always debate the best and worst jobs in the country. I think it comes down to what you prioritize and where you are as a human being. I'm not sure it's San Diego State. There's no pressure. You're going to have that job as long as you want, as long as you go 500 or a game above. The telescope would be on the basketball program before the football program, if anything. Laissez-faire attitude. You get to live in San Diego. It's a big time coaching job. Like, to me, my personality, that's what would entice me. I don't know if it's, you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, San Diego State, sign me up. Go coach kids, win games. That's awesome.
I'm looking for a lifetime contract with the Aztecs.
I'm looking for people to tell me how great I am.
Living in San Diego, coaching a team in the Mountain West where you can go 8-4 every year and probably get a bonus?
You can get Marshall Faulk to come there.
Rashad Penny.
You can get Rashad Penny to come there. You can have talent. Do something crazy. Yeah, I'm sorry. That sounds like a good job. Sean Lewis. Okay, so I mentioned as we went to break, and we've got Mike Palm. Palm and the Prince, a little debate coming up in just a bit. Drew Butler is going to join, does a lot. He does a great job. We also have, of course, our buddy Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper, stopping by for the third hour here on Sharp Money. So I said it, so let's get into it. It's Georgia. So Georgia has won. I believe their last loss was in 2021. It was in the championship game in Atlanta against Alabama. What happened? They then revenged that loss and won a championship. So they haven't lost since. I think they've won 48 of 49 games. So let's say they were to lose against Alabama in the championship game. Now, I picked 6 points because it's a little under a touchdown where people start to feel like, whoa, they beat them by a touchdown. But it's more than one or two. So it's a good win. Alabama beats Georgia by 6. Michigan wins. Let's just say Washington wins. And Florida, well, who would I say here? Would
Texas.
I say Florida State?
Yeah, no,
and
Florida
Texas
State.
Wins. Yeah. Or Texas. Texas wins, Florida State wins. Does Georgia make the Final Four?
They do not.
No.
I said before the season, one of the great bets is Georgia over 11.5 wins, plus 115, missed the college football playoff, plus 250. They have not played a schedule that these other 8 teams couldn't go undefeated against. Think about this. Alabama's only loss came against Texas. The rest of these teams would all run the table if they had Georgia's schedule this year. Missouri, their toughest game was on Rocky Top, was non-competitive. I'm sorry, Georgia's not getting in with a loss. They must win.
Here's your strengths and schedules of the contenders. Florida State, the worst, 66th. Georgia, second worst, 56th. Michigan next at 55. Oregon, 52. Ohio State, 31st. Washington, 26th. Alabama, 15th. Texas, 2nd.
Let me just say this, and then now we can debate whether or not we believe in Georgia. I think 5 is hilarious, and I'll tell you why. Washington's already beat Oregon. It's 10. This is why I always say the market is, like, an obvious. This is an obvious point, but markets are perceptive, and they're perceptively driven. This is – that number of 5 is Nick Saban, because – I know that Georgia struggled against Georgia Tech. They didn't have McConkey. They didn't have Bowers. They didn't have a missing another player. They didn't have 3 of their best weapons on offense. This is an Alabama team that just, it's not even a Hail Mary. It's one of the all-time greats in the history of the sport to beat Auburn, who got blown out by 30-plus by New Mexico State the week before. I'm saying things that are very obvious. My point is Georgia is better than Alabama. Lay the 5.5. That's where I'm at right now.
I can't really disagree with you, but for me, I still think Alabama's really good. I don't think they're getting enough credit for the season they had. I discount rivalry games in this sense. Things happen. Games are more competitive than they should be. How many times have you seen it in college football? You know, we saw it last year. Oregon went to Corvallis, gets beat by Oregon State. This year in the Apple Cup, Washington State comes down to a last-minute field goal. There's so many different scenarios that play out from my perspective that I throw it out the window when it comes to a rivalry. Remember when Newton went undefeated at Auburn and they won the national title? They were now 24-0 in Tuscaloosa. That Alabama team was not as good as Auburn, and Auburn came back and won the game. But for me, I think I get where you're coming from, Patrick, and it's hard to go against Georgia. I think the Georgia offense really presents some challenges for Bama. But I'm going to tell you, I think Jalen Milroe can take advantage with his athleticism, Bond and Burton on the perimeter of this Georgia defense. This Georgia defense is nowhere near what they were the last 2 years.
I think it was Staples told me, Dustin, if you want to react to this, he said in 2021, Kirby was playing a little bit of chess where he knew that if he lost, he was getting to the Final Four anyway. And he didn't show Saban anything in Atlanta in the SEC championship game. And then he opened up the playbook both offensively and defensively. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. I just know this. Georgia was the much better team that year. They went into the SEC championship playing six, and Saban and Alabama blew them out, boat raced them. It was never a game. And then Georgia returned the favor in the national championship game where they beat them. Did you feel like 5.5 was a little light here, or are you with them all that you feel, no, it feels good, and Bama has a legit shot here?
I am so torn on this game because I was really critical of what we saw from Georgia early in the year. I thought they were super conservative, very plain on offense. But as the season went on, you could see them getting better and better and better. And Carson Beck has really developed into a guy who can make those game-winning throws when they matter. And that the example of that is they went on a run where they were a dominant second-half team where they figured things out in the locker room, and he came out a different quarterback. So I think they were going up, 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 up. I'm going back and forth in this. I don't have a really good solid answer because I haven't had to, because I'm just betting Georgia money line to hedge an Alabama 40-1 ticket I have. So, but I agree with Amal in the sense that Jalen Milroe has an it factor about him. He has a thing about him. But I don't like the rest of that Alabama team. The offensive line's gotten better, but they're still not great, and I just think they're a little bit younger than
we're used to seeing. It's the least dynamic Alabama team we've seen in a decade.
And I just think they're a little bit younger than we're used to seeing.
Here's what I'll say about Georgia. Georgia, New Year's Six Bowl for Lane, he won 10 games at Mississippi, and they didn't belong on the same field as Georgia.
I don't disagree with you, but this is the first time you look at, compared to the last couple of years, they've given up 20 points in 5 games this year already. They've been in games that have been more competitive. You look at Missouri, I just don't think they have the athletes necessarily outside of a Luther Budden and a couple other guys to be able to really compete with a team like Georgia. I think Jalen Milroe, as Dustin pointed out, is an X factor. Guys, when the play breaks down, this guy can make plays with his legs, and he is not small. I just say this. I know this doesn't help for Saturday. Jalen Milroe is a bet on for the Heisman next year.
Oh, I think both these quarterbacks are.
It's fair. Boat race Georgia.
I think Georgia was doing this all year, up, 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 up. And by the way, the Georgia Tech knock, Georgia Tech wasn't – this isn't Paul Johnson's Georgia Tech. Like, this Georgia Tech team beat Miami. They went toe-to-toe with Louisville, who's in the ACC championship. There was another team. They beat North Carolina. Like, this is a much better Georgia Tech team than we're used to seeing.
Patrick, to your point about Georgia – potentially destroying Alabama. It wouldn't come as a surprise to me if they win this game by 14 to 21 points.
They could blow them out.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that. I don't think, to me, here's the thing. I think Georgia can win by 17. I think Georgia could lose this football game. I'm not overwhelmed by any team right now. For my money today, if you take all 8 teams that we have listed here that could get into the college football playoff, if you say you can bet on one team, I'm taking the team from Eugene right now.
If Alabama wins this game,
they're in.
They're in? Even over Texas, who beat them?
Well, that's true. That's a great point.
By the way, Georgia-Alabama at this point, like November 29th, 2023, coaching advantage Georgia.
Yes. Yes.
It's a weird thing to say, but it's absolutely true.
Coaching advantage Georgia. Kirby is turning into a monster.
About what, 3 weeks ago?
You know what Kirby – Hold on. You know what Kirby said after they beat Georgia Tech? Somebody goes, hey, that was a close game. Do you feel like your players were looking ahead? He goes, looking ahead, we just won our state championship. you don't think that dude was dialed in? Calvin Johnson ain't walking through that door in Atlanta at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, with all the app like applauding you just did, still is Georgia Tech. They're a technical school. Okay. And he said, we won a state championship today.
We had the discussion about 3-4 weeks ago. Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, who's in the discussion? Kirby Smart is 2 wins away from being right up there as number 1.
He wins 3 games. He wins the SEC title game and the 2 playoff games. He's going to do something that Pete Carroll's Trojans didn't do, and he's going to do something Nick Saban's Crimson Tide have never done, which is win 3 in a row.
you can, Pete Carroll can win three Super Bowls in a row. He'll always be a donk.
First donk of the day.
Everybody everybody agrees with me. They're just afraid to say it.
Donk of the day.
Everybody
Pete
agrees.
Carroll.
Mouth open, staring at the scoreboard. He's always confused. We're back with Palm next.